I'm going to veer a little bit this week because I've had a quite interesting week. I want to come back to my series in Galatians at another time. I'm going to go to the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. 37th Psalm, starting at the first verse. Psalm 37 and 1 and down to the fourth verse. Psalm 37, 1 through 4. When you have it, say amen. My dad wrote a song based on this. And so the words kind of stayed in my mind. I can make it, I can take it, because with the Lord on my side or something like that. A guy named Tim used to sing it. I always had a certain thing in my mind when it came to a certain verse here. But as I'm growing, I'm seeing a lot more. The verse says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Then this verse. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." A quick snapshot here, just so you can get an idea of what's where I'm going this morning. But I'm going to give some context. Let me just say it this way. Don't trip off the worldly people who are not saved and yet seem to have it all. They think that they are free, but they don't know that they are slaves. Don't be envious of them. Don't be jealous of them. Don't envy them. They delight in their idols of worldly prosperity, and they delight in all the things that they have, and they are happy because of what they got. But this verse here, verse 4, says, "Delight thyself," and I wrote a little underline here, "also." Don't envy the world or the people who are not saved, the people who are not redeemed, that seem to be having everything go their way. But like the people also in the world, the church could learn this from them. We should be happy and delight ourselves not in what we have, but in who we have. Say that also? Not for the same reason, but because of who we have. Amen? We have Christ. Now, when I read this verse a long time ago, when I was younger, I used to think that it meant delight yourself in the Lord. And I may have mentioned this before, and he will give you a bunch of stuff that you desire. In my fleshly mind, that's what I was like, "Ooh, that's good. I've decided this is going to be my favorite verse." But now I understand it differently. I'm going to go on a little journey here, and I want you to stay with me for a minute. God will give you what you should desire. Hey. There are things that we should desire. There are things that we should not desire. And there are things that get in the way of what we should desire most. Amen? Now hang with me. I'm going to try to hang. Keep that in your mind. I'm going to go somewhere for a minute. Sin must be fought I learned this week. At its first level of desire, and not at its second level of resisting. Did you get that? Woo! Say it again. Okay, Kim. Kim is my god sister. Sin must be fought at its first level of desire, not at its second level of just resisting. When you feed on the desire that you should not be desiring and let it build up to the point that you now have no choice but to just resist, then you're increasing your chances of being defeated by the temptation instead of overcoming the temptation. Are you hearing me, saints? Amen? Is that good? This is not something you... Let me say that differently. Yeah. This is not just something that you do to resist sins like sex on the outside of the context of marriage, or sleeping around, overeating, drugs and alcohol, different kinds of relationships that God says is forbidden. This is not just resisting those things. Amen? Those things we must resist. But also resisting certain kinds of desires, like the desire to be distracted. Procrastination. Yeah. God help us. Unforgiveness. I'm going to stay where I am. It feels good to dislike you and hate you. I like this. I can feed on this. Amen? Distractions brought on by the sin of being covetous. Oh, I can't focus on where I should be focusing on because I just desire everything I see. There's some things I want. Amen? How about this? Not just resisting those things, but resisting fear. Resisting anxiety about the future. What if, what if, what if, what if? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. How about this? God said we should have joy. But I don't have any joy. I'm complaining all the time. There's a lack of gratitude. I'm struggling with my thankful list. Training the mind to feed on what we should desire takes work. But more than that, it takes a change of desires. This is something that I have never been able to do. We can't change our desires. We can't change what I just naturally want. This takes supernatural intervention. Amen? Only God can come in and change what you desire. Anybody know about that? This is just what I naturally want to do. Only God can come in and say, no, now you want to do this. You ever seen, I'm a Star Wars fan. You know, Yoda talks, put the cheeseburger down, you will. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden they think, yeah, I will put the cheeseburger down. Yeah. Only God can do that. He comes in and changes what we desire. The key is not so much desiring good or better things. The key, honestly, saints, is desiring Christ. He's not just good. He's not just better. He's the absolute best. Because of sin, I cannot desire what is best. And only after we repent from sin and receive the Holy Spirit, only then can we desire not only what is best, but more importantly and more specifically, who is best. And who is best is Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? When I was in sin, I had no desire for him. And now I need the Holy Spirit to help me. If I'm totally honest, that stuff is still there. But Christ must be exalted above those things to where he is what I desire most. And only God can do that. Amen? So naturally, there are so many things that we chase after, that we foolishly believe that if we can obtain these things, then maybe then I'll be happy. The flesh, by default, desires to be satisfied with everything and everyone but Jesus. Are we being honest here? Are we all humans in here? We are cursed with the sin of busyness and distractions. Human desire is always set upon things that never bring lasting joy. It always makes me feel good for a minute, and then after I got it, I'm on to something else. Because of sin, the planet, I don't know if you've gotten the news, I don't know if you've been here long enough to notice this, the planet is kind of rigged for disappointment. Have you noticed it? You may have some good things happen, you know, but they don't last forever. Either the thing doesn't last or the way I feel about it doesn't last. Everything in this planet, because of the fall, comes to an end and will never be what it was intended to be. Because of the curse of sin, we are plagued, this is interesting, by insanity. We know something's wrong here, don't we? We know that this world is like, something's not quite right. I can't put my finger on it. Something's not right. And yet, the insanity thing is, I keep chasing after it. Hearing the preaching about Jesus on Sunday, and on Monday, I'm chasing after it. That's insane. I want worldly things. Come on. Ain't that right? John, 1 John 2:16. I'm just use this loosely just to set this point up. For all that is in the world, and we just saw this today in the garden when we read about the garden. Eve looked at the fruit and saw it was good, and it's going to probably taste good too. Ooh, it's good. And Satan said it's going to make me wise. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It's not from the Father, but it's of the world. All that is in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are things that I naturally, without anybody helping me, that's what I, by default, will desire. And these things are the things that Satan, if he can help it, would love for me to keep desiring. This is what's in the world. And sin has pre-programmed us to desire it. What we need, saints, is an escape from the world system. It would be great. Wouldn't it be great if I could live on another planet while I'm still on this planet? It would be great if there was another kingdom I could go into. I need to exist on this planet while I live and function and live and move in another kingdom. Amen? Someplace where I can go while I'm still here. Now, guess what? That place exists. Oh, somebody got it. That place is just as real as me sitting here with these black glasses talking to you. But to get there, we have to have our desires changed. Amen? And the only way that happens is if God gives us a new heart. A new heart so that I can even appreciate what this kingdom has to offer me. Because without that heart, I really don't want what that kingdom has to offer. I naturally desire something else. Wow. I need to have a desire for not only that other place, that other kingdom, but here's where I'm headed. This is what I want you to understand. If you don't get anything else I'm saying to you, I need to have a desire for the king of that kingdom. I need to have a desire for Christ, the ruler of that kingdom. Amen? Watch this. Jesus showed up preaching the kingdom. He would say, the kingdom of God is at hand. He was saying that because he's the king. He is the king of that kingdom. And he would say, the kingdom of God is at hand. And guess what? I came here to visit you all. I'm visiting you all. And Jesus went about doing some rather interesting things. He went about not just preaching, but he went about doing miracles. And folks got healed, and folks got set free, and folks got delivered. Folks were thinking differently about life because of the things he was saying. Nothing would stay the same because Jesus, who is the king of this other kingdom, showed up on the scene, and nothing could be the same because he was there. Amen? Demons had to go. Chains were broken off. Sickness was eradicated. The dead were raised to life because Jesus just said, I'm here, and things have to change. I am the king of the kingdom. Amen? Amen? Nothing could stay the same. In fact, John the Baptist sent people to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah that we're looking for? And Jesus said, go back and tell John what you're seeing. Huh? The blind can see. The deaf can hear. People are hearing the gospel. The dead are being raised to life. What is he saying? Jesus told him, what do you see me doing? Well, he's turning the world upside down. Nothing is the same because Jesus is the king of that kingdom. The centurion understood authority. He had someone that was sick, and he said, Jesus, I'm sinful. I'm a sinful Gentile, but I understand authority. I know that all you got to do is give the word. You don't have to come to my house, and you just got to say it. I got people I'm in charge of, and they do what I say. Jesus, all you have to do, I understand authority. I know you have power. Jesus said, I've never seen faith like this in all of Israel, all of Jerusalem. He said, this is amazing. Somebody is getting it. There is a kingdom that exists. Jesus is the king of that kingdom. He is the Lord of that kingdom. All Jesus has to do is speak, and things must change. He does the opposite of what this sinful world has shown us. That's all he can do. He's Christ, the Son of God. Amen? This kingdom exists now because the kingdom is alive because the king is alive. Amen? But this is the very kingdom that we are ignoring because we are distracted from seeking the king of that kingdom. Desiring and looking for what we think is better while we are neglecting the one who is the best. So, Psalm 37:4. says, delight thyself in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Some real quick observations here. A couple of simple observations here. If your delight is in some other area that's not the Lord, then you don't get what he's intended you to get. Amen? You end up with what you think is best. The problem is, I'm not God. I don't know what is best. I'm not as wise as God is. I don't see everything the way he does. He's the only one who knows what is best, and honestly, he is the best. Are you hearing me? So the desire that naturally comes from me and every other person will naturally lead us to nothing but a total dead end. Amen? There is no lasting satisfaction outside of Christ. Nothing. Because the things that we are desiring are not really him. It's just things. Now, we could get religious and say, well, you know, I want Jesus too. I want to have Jesus too. Can I go here? Yeah, yeah. Okay. When I have coffee, and I put in coffee, I put in French vanilla creamer. And I put in something else. Maybe I sprinkle something else on there, whatever have you. I'm having coffee. If you were to see me, you'd be like, what are you drinking? I would say coffee. But that's actually not true. What I'm having is coffee with French vanilla. And whatever else is in the French vanilla. If I have some eggs, and you see me put some salt and pepper on the eggs, what are you eating, Pastor Jamie? I'm eating eggs. That's not true, Pastor Jamie. What you're actually eating is eggs with salt and pepper. That's not technically right. So when I say I want Jesus too, is that really true? Or am I just trying to shake a little Jesus on top of whatever? Huh? Think about it. That just came to me this morning. Think about it. You having eggs? No, you're having eggs with pepper and salt. And if you're like my kids, a little ketchup. They got to, you know, make them eat it. Cheese and all that good stuff. Amen? That's how we are. We say we desire God, but the truth of the matter is if we're not careful, we're actually replacing God. Oh, Jesus. When I was younger, I would say to myself, and I would say it to God, Lord, don't come now, because there's some things I'd like to do first. There's some desires that I have. I want you, but can I have you later? Come on, just be honest. And the more I stay on this planet, though, even though there's some things I want to do first, the more I stay on this planet, the more I'm beginning to see the real truth of this planet. This place ain't cool, y'all. Let's just be real. This place ain't cool. We're getting smarter and smarter, and it's still not getting better. We are more educated now than we've ever been. We got, you know, people used to not even have a good sewage system. We got a sewage system, and it's still a mess. We are just a mess. Think about it. As smart as we are, as far as we've come, this is the best we could do. We got all these politicians talking about we're going to change this, we're going to do that, and we're going to, you know, vote Republican or vote Democratic and or independent, whatever have you, and we're going to fix everything. You can't fix nothing. You haven't done it before. It's a mess. You know? But I used to say, you know, listen, I want to do some things first, but it's not a cool place. You know? You get a car. Your car was new. Then your car starts breaking down. You get a husband, he was new. Then he starts breaking down, dragging the whole administration of Sutter Health behind him. You know, your leg was new at one point in time, and stops working, breaking down. It's just not a cool place. This thing is rigged, is what I'm trying to say to you people. It's rigged. Haven't you noticed? And we are putting all our hopes in it. Jesus, if you could just help me get some more stuff. I'm coming to you, Jesus, and here's my list. It's a bunch of desires. I don't have no honey. I want to be with somebody. Listen, if the church, and I'm talking to saved folks, redeemed folks, forgiven folks, people that are going to heaven, if we continue to fixate and feed on the things that are like of our natural desires, then do you realize those things can become the whole focus of your life? Oh, I forgot to tell you. The message title is A New Desire. Okay. Listen, anything that rivals Jesus for our attention can turn into sin. And when we focus on worldly things, it gets harder for us to resist those things. When we're confronted with those things, we just kind of get stuck into those things and we lose the battle of temptation because we've been meditating on everything but Jesus. Huh? If we wait until the time of temptation to fight temptation, then I increase my chances of losing to the temptation. Are you hearing me? If I'm not supposed to have... Oh, I can't. Yeah, that's good. This. If you know anything about me, Pastor likes these. Keyboards. Always have, Kim. Thank you. And I think about that the whole time. And I don't fight the desire for that. Let's just put it in a place where you guys can understand, because maybe you guys don't get it from me. Let's just say that's fried chicken. And the doctors have told me, Pastor Jamie, this is going to be the end for you if you have one more chicken leg. Can't do it. It's not healthy for you to have chicken leg. Your blood can't handle one more chicken leg. And so I am all week long thinking about that chicken leg, desiring the chicken leg. I haven't gotten a chicken leg, but that's what's on my mind. That's what I'm thinking about all week, chicken leg. And then I get a phone call, let's see, from my cousin who says, we're going to have a family picnic. And lo and behold, what are we going to have at the family picnic? Chicken leg. And I get right up on a chicken leg, and because I've been desiring it, I have no power to resist it. I cannot do what's best because I've been thinking about what's temporary. Are you hearing that? I have no power to live in the way that God has intended me to live because I'm not thinking about the giver of life. I'm just thinking about the other things he can give. He's not my priority. Are you hearing me? Yeah, are you hearing me? What about those other sins that are not so obvious? The lack of gratitude, thankfulness, unforgiveness. Now watch this. The Bible, which is the word of God, talking about our desires here, says it commands us to rejoice in the Lord, and it tells us to rejoice at least 45 times. Okay? Look that up. Rejoice is a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Have some joy. Rejoice. Be excited. Joyful. Amen? What takes away my joy? I'll give you a few seconds to think about it. What takes away your joy? Is it fear of circumstances? Huh? Heartbreak, trouble in relationships, money problems, grief, all wrapped up in one category of unfulfilled desire? Huh? Or is it that our desires need to be changed so we could be more grateful? Huh? Is it that we could be grateful for what we already have instead of focusing on what we don't have? Huh? Is it that I should have my focus on Christ who are already possessed? Huh? Talking to the church folks here. So I'm not overly concentrated or overly focused on what's missing, what's been taken away, what I've lost. Thankful people can rejoice. Grateful people can rejoice. Amen. And that's a command for us to rejoice. But if my focus is on these other desires, now I'm not joyful and I'm not, you know, I would hate to be that Christian some sinner ran into and he didn't decide that he wanted to be anything like me just because of the way I carried myself. Why would I want to be like Jamie? He looks like he's having a horrible time. I'm living it up. He says, also delight yourself in the Lord. Like these sinners are out there delighting themselves in everything they got. Are we delighting in who we've got? Are we joyful? Huh? I'm not saying that we don't grieve. I'm not saying that we don't have sorrow. I'm saying that the command is rejoice in the Lord always. Now, always does not mean it's not conditional. It's not sometimes. Always is a command from the Lord. I want you to rejoice. Why? Because when you realize who you have, what you've been given, what he's done for you, what he's taken you away from, what he's snatched you out of, the consequences that you will never deal with throughout all of eternity because his blood has wiped away all your sins. I want you to rejoice. I know you don't have the car you want. I know so-and-so didn't think you was cute, but listen. Rejoice. Always. And then he said, and again I say rejoice. Huh? Is it the things that we don't have, or is it a lack of thankfulness in spite of those things? Are we grateful for Jesus Christ in spite of those things? Are we coming to church just to get him to sprinkle? You know, give me this, but I could add a little you to it. If your focus is on Jesus, because you desire Jesus, then the word, there's a song. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. It is a wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That was the thing that we did. Okay, here we go. Matthew 17. I'm talking about the Mount of Transfiguration where Peter gets so excited. He's like, let's build a tabernacle, altars for all three of you. You know, Elijah, Moses, and Jesus. And as he's talking, the Holy Spirit, I mean, God says, no. This is my son. In whom I will hear him. But Jesus is bright. He's beautiful. He's glowing. He's transformed. It's a sight to see. And here we are, getting busy. And there's a point in time when you be still and you know that he's God and you just kind of sit there and reflect on the goodness of Jesus. That will change your desire. Just think about who he is. Instead of trying to get stuff and do stuff and be stuff and have stuff and busy. No. Just the whole point of the Mount Transfiguration was look at Christ. Look at how wonderful he is. When he becomes your desires. When he becomes, not the stuff he can give you, when he becomes a desire, then you have that peace that causes you not to be rocked. Everything can't shake you up. You get bad, and I got some bad news this week. I had to remind myself, wait a minute, I have Jesus. Wait a minute. I can't get into a, a funk, not truly recognizing rather that I have Christ. He's real. His promises are real. Where I'm going is real. And I don't have to wait until I die to get there. I can get into the kingdom at any moment. Are you hearing me? Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'll close it up in just a minute. How do you see Jesus? How do you desire Jesus? Well, you look at his life. You look at his word. You look at the book that the Holy Spirit left us to fill up on. Your Bible. What does it say? Oh, Genesis. God made everything. Okay. Then, here you go. You ask God to turn your attention and affections towards him because you're still dealing with sinful flesh even after you read your Bible. Come on, let's ask. Uh-huh. You ask for grace to desire Christ so that we're not wrapped up in all the distractions of the flesh. Then when temptation comes, we will not be this disgruntled group of people who are negative, who seem to be thinking that everything is wrong and everything is something's missing. That you will get joy in your life because the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So he'll give you joy. Huh? He'll remind you that you need to have joy because the truth is nothing's really missing. Nothing's really wrong. You're not lacking anything. You have Christ. Everything, I'm going to say something to you. Everything, in spite of what's happened, is all right. Take that in. No. But why is Sister So-and-so so happy? Because they have an understanding that everything is actually really all right. And that's that perplexing kind of lifestyle that causes people to go, I don't get it. You've suffered something. You had something that they didn't give that to you. You lost something. I don't understand. Why do you have so much joy? Because I'm living in another kingdom while I'm on the earth. I have some place I can go to. My desires are transformed. Mm-hmm. Thank God that he loves us enough to give us a heart that is aware enough to be dissatisfied with this world so we don't get so wrapped up in the world. This world, I don't know if you haven't noticed, it's not perfect. Huh? It's not the way God intended it to be. Amen? And God has given us the ability to be aware enough to not be satisfied with it. Amen? And the Holy Spirit has to remind us of that through the Word of God. Amen? So I thank God for a new desire. But how did it get there? How did I get that new desire for Christ? Well, God gives us a new heart. Uh-huh. What we need is God to empower us to desire Christ above everything else, above the relationship that we must have, above the job that we must have, huh? Above the house that we must have, the set of circumstances that we must have, the type of health that we must have, all of that. To desire Christ above it all. Amen? We come here, watch this, people. We come here with nothing. Then we spend our whole life trying to have something. Only to leave here the same way we came here. With nothing. It's a trick! Think about it. Grace just got here. She don't have anything except for what we've given her. She didn't show up with a pair of Nikes on. She had nothing. And we all leave here the same way. And we're chasing after everything, trying to have. And nobody takes anything that they quote unquote have with them. We all leave here the same way we came here. With nothing. And while we're doing that, we're ignoring the fact that the whole time we are on earth, we're supposed to be learning one truth. And that is that Jesus is the only thing worth having. You hearing that? Do you realize that even the relationships that you're in are not eternal unless both of you are in Christ? You realize that the husband and children and co-workers and all that, do you realize that you will not see any of them forever if they're not in Christ? Talking to the church here. Do you realize that Jesus uses this story? He said there's a great chasm. I can't go visit the folks in hell. They can't come visit the folks in heaven. We can't come by and say, you know, I've been in eternity with Christ for about 459 years. It's great. I just want to pop in and see you. No, I can't do that. How you been? It's kind of hot down here. I think I'm going to go back. No. The water I brought you just melted. No, what I'm trying to... You can't go. What I'm saying is the only thing that lasts is the things that are in Christ. It's true. Deal with it. No matter how hard it is. Your relationships even have to be in Christ. That's why you need to disciple your children. That's why you need to tell people the gospel. Because you'll never see them again when you leave here if you don't. The only one who lasts forever is in Christ. Everything's in him. Everything's in him. Everything's in him. So the solution is that we need a heart exchange. And I'm done here. To get us out of the insanity that we continue to live in. With a changed heart comes changed desires. With a changed heart comes changed desires. Are you hearing me, saints? Ezekiel 36, 25 to 28. And I'm done. This is his promise to his people. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. And ye shall be clean from all of your filthiness and from all your idols. There it is right there. That's the temporary replacements. You hear it? You see it? Huh? From all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put in you, within you. And I will take away the stony heart, that resistant heart, huh? Out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. The whole point is this, saints, when it comes to our desires, this is why we need a new desire. Sin separates us from the God who longs to be with us. Huh? Our hearts have to be changed so that we will desire the one who longs to be with us. Huh? And not just when we die, but right now. There's a kingdom I can go to. In my prayer time, in my fellowship with God. Huh? There's a desire. See, there's a lot of other stuff out here that would cause me to want to run away from the one who loves me the most. And if I don't have the new heart with the new spirit, I won't desire to be with the best. And who is the best? Christ. I'll run myself raggedy for decades looking for everything else but him. The presence of the Lord will keep me from all this other stuff that tempts me, but is not God's best for me. The presence of the Lord, which is available right now, will keep me from all this other stuff. I may have desires, but he is far better. And I keep coming back to that place, and the Holy Spirit has to keep reminding me, Jamie, that's attractive, but that's not going to satisfy you forever. Jamie, I may take some things, but you have me. I'm not going to give you everything that you desire, but I'm going to give you what you should desire. And that is me. It's not things from Jesus. Jesus is the thing. It's Jesus himself. I'm not looking for the stuff. I'm looking for the one who gives me everything. Huh? What I want more than anything is peace. Huh? What I want more than anything is love. What I want more than anything is joy. Huh? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance. Yeah, it's the Spirit. And we have him. For those of us who have repented, who've turned from our sin, we get new desires. Huh? And the Holy Spirit has to sometimes shake us up a little bit and say, wait a minute, remember me? I'm over here. Jamie, oh, yeah. Come on. Isn't that what happens? Huh? I got a new this, I got a new that. And then it starts to break down. Huh? And we come back to the reality. I think I'm just looking for Jesus. I think I just want to be with Jesus. Huh? All that other stuff, Bruce said it today, will all pass away. Something about Jesus. Huh? Huh? I'm done. A new desire. Oh, God help us.